All right, I invite you to take your Bibles to Psalm 116 tonight. Psalm 116, we're just going to read one verse tonight, verse 15, and I'll read it in just a minute. I'll be honest with you, I'm going to preach to myself tonight. I invite you to listen along, you know, when we lose somebody from our church family, it's hard on your preacher. It's like losing a family member. I rejoice tonight because I know where Brother Harold is. But like I said, I'm going to miss saying hello, Captain, and wondering if he's going to call me an admiral or a sergeant or a private. He promoted me and demoted me at whim, at his whim. But I rejoice knowing where he is. I had a long talk with the Lord last night, and he brought back to my mind this verse in Psalm 116. I was going to preach about Thanksgiving tonight, this different stages of Thanksgiving, but like I said, I'm going to preach to myself and be an encouragement to myself tonight because I need it. And I just invite you to listen along, and if you can take some encouragement from it, I'll ask you to do that. But Psalm 116, verse 15, the Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, you know, reading that, you might think, that's a strange verse. It's sort of a backward verse. You would think it would be just the opposite. You would think God would get more delight out of the death of the wicked, those that have ignored him and ignored the gospel and ignored the cross and ignored salvation, than he would out of the death of his saints. And I'll be honest with you, if I was God, that's probably how I would write the verse. I would, you know, if I was God, I'd get more pleasure out of the death of somebody that had ignored me and has turned his back on Christ and ignored the gospel than I would on the death of a saint. But I'm not God, and you all better be glad that I'm not God. Amen. That's right, Brother Leonard. Because if I was God, or if God thought like I did, we'd all be in a heap of trouble. The Bible says that God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. In fact, it says in Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 11, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." And the reason God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked is that the wicked, when they die, they go to hell. I mean, Jesus told us that would happen, and he told parables about it. The parable in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man and Lazarus. They both died. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man lifted up his eyes, tormented in hell, and asked Abraham if Lazarus could just come and dip the tip of his finger in water and touch his tongue because he was tormented in the flames. And so God doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked because he has lost that soul forever. There's no hope to reclaim that soul. And I'll remind you tonight, and not the main part of what I want to say, but I'll remind you tonight that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to go to heaven. And I believe with all my heart, there's enough room in heaven for everybody. I don't believe that anybody is left out of heaven because there's not room. There is room in heaven for anybody. And God wants everybody to go to heaven. That's why he made salvation so simple that even the littlest little child can understand. We're sinners. There's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is separation from God forever. And I know I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, but again, I'm preaching to encourage myself, so you just listen along. And that penalty is separation from God. But Jesus went to the cross, and he paid my penalty, and he paid your penalty, paid for my sin, paid for your sin. And if we'll receive him, we can have that home in heaven. We don't have to go to hell. In fact, if a person goes to hell, it's because they want to. And if a person goes to hell, that person steps over everything that God has put as an obstacle between that person and hell. And that person has to step over every single one of those things to get to hell. He's got to step over the cross. He's got to step over the blood that was shed on that cross in remission for our sins. He's got to step over the gospel. And he's got to step over the Bible. And he's got to step over the church. And he's got to step over every Sunday school teacher that said anything about Jesus. And he's got to step over every preacher and every sermon that preacher preached about heaven and hell and about Jesus. And he's got to step over probably grandmas and moms and dads and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, everybody in their life that said just one word about the Savior. He's got to step over that and step over all of that to get to hell. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked because he wants everybody to go to heaven. And when a person goes to hell, that is messing up the plan that God has for that person. Because his plan, his will, is for every person to go to heaven. So I come back to verse 15 in Psalm 116, where it says precious, and that word precious means treasured, valuable, sweet. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It was precious yesterday when Brother Harold went to heaven. It was precious to God. It was sweet to God. And tonight, I remind you, and as I remind myself, why it was precious to God. It's precious when one of God's children comes home. It's precious when one of his saints come into heaven, number one, because going to heaven and walking through that valley of the shadow of death is the last valley that God has to see one of his children go through. God loves us, and he cares about us, and when we hurt, he hurts. When we ache, he aches. When we cry, he cries. We're his children, and it hurts him when he sees his children hurt. And you that are parents, and you that are grandparents, know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you have a feel for how God feels. Every parent or every grandparent goes to great lengths to spare his child or grandchild pain. I'd rather be sick when I had little kids. I don't care about them now. But no, I'm just kidding. I'd rather be sick than see either of my children sick. I would rather be sick and see little Aaron sick. I would rather feel the pain than them feel the pain. I'd rather be hurt than see them hurt. I'd rather cry than see them cry. And God is the same way. He knows, because he told us in his word that our life is full of trouble. In Job chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. What that verse is saying, life is short and it's packed with trouble. And our Heavenly Father says, you know, I'll be glad when it's all over for him. I'll be glad when my children don't have to hurt anymore. I'll be glad when my children get out of all this trouble that's in this world. That's why Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. In a few days, before the year's over, it could be early next year, we're going to welcome some more new little babies into our church. Won't be long. We'll welcome some more in. And, you know, we'll rejoice with their families and with their moms and their dads that a new life has come into the world. And, you know, we'll love on them and hug them and kiss them. But we'll realize that that little one has a whole life in front of him that will be full of sorrows and trouble and heartaches. But you know what's true for Brother Harold? He has no more pain. He has no more sorrows. He has no more heartaches. That's why God said, better is the day of death than the day of one's birth. That's why God says, precious in my sight is the death of my saints, because they don't have to hurt anymore. They don't have to have sorrow anymore. They don't have to have any more heartaches. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because number two, when we die and we leave this earth, God gets our full attention. He gets us all. What's the greatest commandment? Don't say it, just think about it. What's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants all of us. He wants us to love him with everything we have. And he wants it all. Now, the truth is that while we're in this life and while we're on this earth, we're distracted from God. Yeah, we spend a lot of time worshiping God. We spend a lot of time loving God. But the things of this earth distract us. Did you ever want somebody's full attention? And Angie, don't start looking at me. But you ever want somebody's full attention and not be able to get it? You've seen this scene at the breakfast table where the wife wants to talk to her husband and he's got the paper up in front of him and she's talking and he's going, and it goes the other ways too. I mean, where husbands want to talk about something and their wife's doing something and they're saying, And you know what I'm talking about. When you want somebody's full attention, all you get is a grunt. Or all you get is, you know, maybe a nod of the head. And you know in your heart, they haven't heard a word I've said. And, you know, it's the smart spouse that asks for things in that situation. I'm going to go out and get this. And then you say, well, you agreed. But I think that's how God, and I'm just kidding, by the way, all right? I think that's how God feels. Sometimes when he wants our full attention, there's things on this earth that distract us, that get in the way. But, you know, when we die and we go to heaven, he has our full attention. No more lust of the flesh. No more lust of the eyes. No more pride of life. It's like that song that we sang, the verse from 1 Corinthians. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I mean, God will have our full attention. And we can love him with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength. That's why the death of one of his saints is precious in his sight. It's precious in his sight, number three, because he gets to show us everything that he's prepared for us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We haven't seen it. We haven't heard about it. In fact, we haven't even thought about it. It hasn't entered into our heart. And again, the Bible tells us a lot about heaven. I mean, there is a street of gold in heaven. The gates are made out of pearl. There is no night. There is no pain. There are no tears. There are no goodbyes in heaven. Jesus is there, and we'll be able to see him face to face. And we'll be there forever. And so we know some things about heaven. But as I said a moment ago, we cannot imagine what God has prepared for us in heaven. I mean, I think the things that we read about heaven in the Bible are like looking at just the top of a mountain, and you see the peak, but you don't see all the other things that are underneath it. And like Helen testified a moment ago about the fishing trip that Vern and Neil were waiting for Harold to take. You say, you think there'll be fishing in heaven? I think God knows that there are certain people that like to go fishing, and there'll be fishing in heaven. I think he knows some people like to go out and shoot deer, and there may be hunting in heaven. I think there are people that like other things, and if you just stop and think how much God loves us and how he has expressed that love to us in this earth. I mean, everything we see on this earth is an expression of God's love for us. I mean, everything he created, it was for us. Now, you think about all the things that we enjoy down here, and think about how all those things have been tainted by sin. And then you think about going to a place where there is no sin. And then think, I mean, and then you just get, again, you get a little bit of feel of what I'm trying to say tonight about heaven. And God is anxious to show us those things that he has prepared for us. You know, I've decided this year that I need to time my Christmas shopping, especially when it comes to buying Aaron gifts, because I know what's going to happen. If I go out and buy it today, I want to give it to him tomorrow, because I won't be able to wait till Christmas. I take after my mother a little bit. She's that way. She tries to get her shopping done early, but she gives it all to us before Christmas comes, and then she's got to go out and buy more. But I think I'll be that way. So I'm going to wait till the 24th of December to go out and buy his Christmas presents so I can give them all to him the next day. And that's the way God is. I mean, he has prepared that place called heaven. By the way, it is a real place. There's no doubt about it. It is a real place, and he has prepared that place for us. And again, you think about what you've enjoyed down here on earth that he prepared because he loved you, and then you take that and you put it in heaven without sin. And that's why the Bible can say, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." I mean, I wish I had the words. I wish I could express my thoughts tonight without the emotions coming through, so I could be clear to just get you to understand that we know so little about heaven. And when we get there, I think like Brother Harold did yesterday, all we're going to do is say, "Wow, wow. Wow, 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 wow." And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because we have a God that loves us and wants to show it to us so much that he can't wait for us to get there. And then number four, lastly, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because it's at that time that others come to know Jesus as their Savior as well. It's precious because when somebody dies, people are brought face to face with the reality that there is an eternity. People are brought face to face with the fact that they're going to live somewhere forever. And there's only two choices, only two destinations, heaven and hell. And people are brought face to face with their immortality. And they brought face to face with the fact that they need to make a decision. They need to ask the question, am I ready? Am I ready to go out into eternity? Am I going to go to be with God, or am I going to go and not be with God? And we've seen it in our church over the last couple weeks, the last couple funerals that we've had. We've had a multitude of people, 27 people all together that have asked Jesus to be their Savior. And that's the way it should be. And I think that's one of the reasons when that God says, it's precious in my sight, it's sweet in my sight, it's valuable in my sight when one of my saints comes to heaven, because that provides those of you that are left an opportunity to talk to other people about Jesus. About Jesus. Hey, we're supposed to do it all the time, because that's what the command that God left us, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But he says it's at times like this when people's hearts are a little bit more tender, when people's minds are pointed toward eternity, when people are thinking about, are they ready, that you have an opportunity and I have an opportunity to present the gospel and to introduce them to Jesus Christ and to see one or two or scores come to know Jesus as their Savior. One of the things that God and I had a long talk about last night was, I said, Lord, if you were going to take Brother Harold, why didn't you take him 2 weeks ago? Why'd you make him go through everything he went through the last 2 weeks? And here's what God came back. He didn't say it out loud, but he put it in my heart and in my mind. He says, listen, pal, I got a plan. I know what I'm doing, and I don't make any mistakes. And he's got a plan. He knows what he's doing, and he doesn't make any mistakes. And I don't know how, Betty, but I know one thing. There's a God in heaven that's going to use what you've been through the last 2 weeks for good. For good. I can't explain it to you, but he's going to use it for good. And we're going to trust him to use it for good. And we're going to pray that he'll use it to good, to reach your kids and your grandkids and your friends and everybody that knew Brother Harold and loved him, to reach them for Jesus Christ. So, we cry, we weep, we're sad, because we're going to miss those that have left us the past few weeks. But in God's sight, what's happened has been precious. It's been precious. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the encouragement that comes when we get into your word. And I pray tonight that you would keep your promises. I know you will. But I remind you of those promises tonight, Father, that you'll work everything together for good. That, Father, you'll show us great and mighty things that we know us not in answer to our prayers. And so, Father, I pray over the next few days that you'll work in the hearts of people that will have an opportunity in the next few days to share the gospel with. And they'll see their sin, and they'll see the Savior, and Father, they'll decide to receive Jesus Christ as their hope for heaven. And we can see more, trust Christ, and make sure that they know they're on their way to heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I just want to make sure tonight that everybody here knows that for themselves. And if you're here tonight and you can give a testimony and say, hey, preacher, I can lift my hand and tell you and testify to my salvation. I know I'm on my way to heaven because I've asked Jesus to be my Savior. If that's your testimony tonight, would you just lift your hand and hold it up just for a second? Just hold it up just for a second. Thank you. Every hand was lifted tonight. I praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Father, that everybody here knows that heaven is theirs. Thank you that we've all taken advantage of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. And again, I pray for Betty. I pray for the family. I pray, Father, that you just strengthen them, that you comfort them. I pray, Father, that you just work and that you'd be God. Thank you for letting us be together tonight. Dismiss us with your blessings. I pray, Father, that every person, every family in our church would have a blessed Thanksgiving, and we'd look toward heaven, and we thank you for every good and perfect gift that you give us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.